Welcome to Cybersecurity Shall Be C-Level Priority, the podcast that puts the digital world to the test. Cyber attacks are on the rise, and data is the most valuable asset in today's world. But how can we protect what matters most to us? Drawing on the latest insights, effective strategies, and practical tools, we'll show you how to create a more secure digital environment. Because one thing is clear, security isn't negotiable. It's a top priority.
Hello, and welcome to a new episode today with Doris. Hello, Doris.
Hi.
You've been a long-time listener. One could say you've consistently commented diligently under the podcasts, and then I thought you actually have a very exciting resume and a very exciting story to tell. Why don't I invite you? And that's how we came together. And now we're talking about your career change into the field of cybersecurity. And because we have a special case, namely the survey has revealed two topics, we are also talking about a second topic, which has been somewhat explosive because the survey revealed a few topics where some people have a different understanding. But before we dive into all these topics, Doris, who are you anyway? And tell us a few sentences about yourself.
I am currently working and have been for 3 years at Sopra Financial Technology in Nuremberg, in the same building, by the way, as SUSE, where I believe the next podcast guest is already in the queue. We are an IT service provider for financial institutions, offering a financial service platform for banks, insurance companies, leasing service providers, and we work there in the second line of defense as ISO, Chief Information Security Officer. As I said, I've been doing this for 3 years. I enjoy it very much. And as you mentioned, I have a relatively varied career path. After graduating from high school, which was in 1991, so in the last millennium, I did a banking apprenticeship and then studied business administration, quite traditionally business administration at the university. And I became a graduate in business administration. During my studies, I also worked part-time in banking, but then developed towards the industry. My focus was then on technology management, but I really came from the commercial side and not so much from the technical side, logically. I then joined a corporation, worked in the commercial sector, and became very ill quite early on, being out for a year and a half at one point, completely out of the professional picture. And then I had to reinvent myself and developed towards HR, that is personnel management, studied a bit more, and then worked in HR departments as a clerk, mainly in recruitment, and later also in the public sector at the Federal Employment Agency there in the IT system house in the support and recruitment of IT specialist trainees. And when you're in HR and you notice how in demand IT specialists are, then at least for me, it was like I started thinking further and thought, well, okay, there are HR professionals everywhere, but IT specialists are in demand. And I was already in this IT system house there. All my colleagues were IT specialists, and I thought, well, why not? And then I studied business informatics, even at a relatively advanced age, over 40. I was practically the age of my fellow students' parents, but I went through with it. And during the business informatics studies, I came across information security, yes, through the course content, and found it very interesting. Well, I think especially if you come from human resources, you can find many points of connection there.
What was it for you? What was your motivation? Why did you say, hey, from this human resources field you just mentioned, did you then, so to speak, switch to the other side, especially into the field of IT and IT security? Also, at a very early stage, if you look back now compared to many others, you've already had a very exciting career path there. What were your reasons for developing in this direction at all?
The point of connection was actually the thought but the first contents were conveyed, yes. The employees are very important there. The employees need to be trained. That was the first thought about it. And I also wrote my bachelor's thesis on this topic. I was interested in gamification in training for information security. That was the turning point for me. So this thought as an HR person that employees are the first line of defense. In a company, you sometimes talk about the human firewall and so on. That was what caught me.
And how was the entry for you, especially as a career changer? You just mentioned that you did your studies afterwards. Were you welcomed with open arms, or was it more like, well, I don't really know what you're supposed to do now?
So cybersecurity, information security, that came a bit later. Later on during my studies, I started then in software testing, which I also find relatively typical for career changers into IT, and then held various roles. And then I applied for an internal job posting for security coordination for the SAP process. And I was then accepted for that. So what really advanced me was a training I was able to complete through my employer on security testing. So that was the Advanced Security Tester, ISTQB, which might be familiar. And that was, I think, also important for my employer and for the managers who then hired me in cybersecurity for SEPA. It was also proof that I can really delve into it and that it genuinely interests me and not just a temporary, oh, this is cool kind of topic.
Did you feel that your previous education, let's call it that, your studies, yes, especially in information technology helped you understand the technology in the background? Or was it more like, especially when you entered the field of information security, that, as you already said, yeah, this training rather opened up this path for you and you said, okay, I'll develop further in this area. I find it exciting.
Well, I gradually developed a liking for the technology. That's inevitable, of course. Although by now I would say we are now also well over 10 years further along, cybersecurity has evolved. Yes, and it has broadened also in the various roles that exist so that you don't necessarily have to get involved technically in all areas and certainly not deeply technically. What I think helped me was the mindset from the very beginning. When you come from human resources, you also know what company secrets you are, what topics are discussed and which are not, especially, of course, data protection. So in human resources, it's also the case that even if a supervisor comes and wants to know something, they don't necessarily get the information. So that was already an imprint and a mindset that was present. I think that helped me more than the actual technical content in the business informatics studies.
You just mentioned it for you. This mindset was also important. What would you advise someone today? Because I keep hearing that technology is super important. We need it. I've often stated my opinion that I believe technology isn't everything, but for me, it's more like 80% communication, 20% technology, especially when it comes to topics like CISO, ISB, and so on, is concerned. But yeah, especially in terms of soft skills, what would you say people should bring with them if they want to develop further in this field, perhaps as career changers?
Curiosity and the willingness to learn, or hopefully indeed the joy of learning. The joy of delving into a topic, getting involved and understanding it thoroughly. And perhaps also as a soft skill, the ability to dare to ask questions. So those who ask and are interested, I find that, especially in the IT industry, they get answers and are also supported when someone shows interest. I see this now in my job too, that young people in particular who say, I'm interested in this topic, then start asking questions. For example, we also ask our trainees and dual students separately. When they start asking questions, they get involved and then they can also develop further. So to dare to inform themselves. There are certainly people who don't like to attend further training, let's say, who prefer to stay in their profession and so continue working as usual. Someone who actively tries to further their education, and there are 1,000 possibilities for that nowadays, is certainly already well qualified from the start for information security, definitely.
You're speaking straight from my heart, because I always say that what you need for information security is passion, that is, enthusiasm for it, the willingness to learn something, and of course, someone you can approach who can do mentoring, who can get involved with the topics a bit, whom you can also ask questions, as you already mentioned, where you can really ask follow-up questions, with whom you can also learn. I believe these are the most important topics. Applying this whole governance topic, what this directive means and so on, these are all things that can be taught in training sessions or internal further education. But generally, this passion, this enthusiasm, that's the most important thing for me, which I also pay attention to in colleagues when I say, okay, the school diploma is not important to me at all. It's not important to me whether they have 20 certificates, but what's important to me is how is the passion, how is the enthusiasm, and how is the willingness to excel in this topic? Because that's how I started. There was no classical training in this field for me. I did computer science, specialized computer science. And then somehow through my own studies, self-study, through the Chaos Computer Club and so on, I got into this direction. I think it looks very different nowadays. I recently had a conversation with an interesting person who is involved in this at the university level, offering courses in the field of cybersecurity and information security. We are now seeing more and more developments in these areas, which I find nice. Personally, I believe, but it should not be forgotten that this whole topic of cybersecurity, as I would call it, is not 30 or 40 years old. Yes, there has always been IT security, and there has always been, let's say, security in relation to technology. Especially in the past, people always paid attention to technology. You have a firewall, you have an antivirus system, that sort of thing. But this whole thing, this surrounding people, the process, the technology in the context of the company, this whole surrounding that exists more, I would say, not for 10 years. And one must naturally also think about it when looking at how the current paths look or what the current training paths are, that they are not 20 years old, and that we also need to see how this develops. And here I repeatedly see the issue that practice is unfortunately not given enough importance. Because for my personal opinion, practice is especially the most important thing in our job, just to see how it actually works. And also in practice, because this theoretical knowledge is nice, but in the end, applying it with a client or in a company, perhaps also with the stress that our job brings, we don't have to sugarcoat it and say everything is rosy here. We all know that our job also requires a lot of stress resistance, especially in many areas. That's a completely different ballgame for me compared to when you learn it through a traditional apprenticeship.
I also think that someone who is fundamentally interested in this field doesn't need to immediately commit to one of the specific roles or segments within cybersecurity. I started by studying business informatics, and my approach was that I'm good with languages, I like foreign languages, and when I read up a bit, I found out that many women used to program Ada Lovelace and so on. Then I thought, well, okay, then I can do it too. I'll just try it now, and then I'll become a programmer, then I'll become a developer. During my business informatics studies, I realized that it wasn't for me at all. Well, you also grow into the topics that suit you, where you can be good, that interest you, and for which you can muster enthusiasm. I couldn't muster any enthusiasm for programming. It just wasn't it. But fortunately, there were also other subjects.
I'm with you on that. I also always find that difficult. Many people always say, yes, you have to specialize, you have to become a pen tester now, or you have to become a consultant now. It was the same for me for a very, very long time. I positioned myself overall. Of course, I can't be a jack of all trades. You have to clearly remind yourself of that. You can't know everything in the field of cybersecurity. But at the beginning, I always thought to myself, I want to be involved a lot with technology, for example, because I'm simply passionate about technology. But I also want to be involved a lot with the topic of governance, because I can really see added value there, not just in certificates. And we certify a broom closet, but really also give companies a bit of guidance. I always found the topic of awareness super exciting. I also did a lot of life hacks and so on in that area. And at some point, I reached the point where I said, okay, this topic of OT security, meaning plant security, is the best fit for me because it involves technology, proprietary protocols, some strange embedded systems that hardly anyone knows, which also run on very old operating systems. I found that personally very fascinating and decided to focus heavily on it, but I still do pen testing and awareness today because I have a passion for it. That's why I always tell people who ask me which direction they should develop to take a good look at everything and think it over carefully. Maybe explore different areas as well. And when you open or close a door, it doesn't have to stay closed forever. You can always return to that area. I believe with the basic set of skills we all have in information security, technology, soft skills, and so on, you can enter a field and continue to develop there. And there's a topic I keep noticing because there's often a misconception from the outside. I'll take the example of a pen tester. Recently, I had someone again who said, hey, Nico, I want to become a pen tester because I can then work on some system and hack it to find security vulnerabilities and so on. And it's really cool. Then I just opened their eyes and said, yes, but you must not forget with pen testing, 60 to 70% is documentation. And that's not so great. If you're a highly technically inclined person and you want to find security vulnerabilities and do some trickery and scripting and so on, but then more than half of your work is on such stupid reports where you have to make some evaluations and give some recommendations for action, it might not be the right thing for you. And I think here too, you just have to be open, look at things, and also take the opportunity to look into other areas where you might say, hey, I want to go in one direction, but there are so many directions you can develop into.
Yes, and maybe also the comparison with where you are already working. So in our banking IT, we work or we adhere very strongly to the so-called three lines of defense model. So there are three lines of defense, and the first line of defense is actually the operational business. By the employees in the company, whether they are in human resources, controlling, maybe in other types of companies, so not in banking IT, but in manufacturing, it depends. It might already be the second line of defense. But if you who are listening right now or watching the video, if you are considering getting into cybersecurity, then take a look at where there are already relevant contents in your daily tasks. Thank you very much. Do you already secure your information in a special way? Because, for example, you have trade secrets or special know-how in the cybersecurity situation. What are the guidelines you have to follow? Are you perhaps a product owner in IT and need to write authorization concepts or operational concepts that include everything, including how vulnerabilities are patched? Do you already have content there? Quite likely, yes. And almost regardless of the nature of your current field of work, you can build on that. What interests you the most about it? Are you perhaps interested in that? Are you an engineer? Or are you most interested in the technical aspect, or as it was for me back then in human resources, the labor law aspect? What is the possibility of perhaps taking on a bit more security tasks internally within the company, maybe data protection tasks, and then also gradually growing into it and throwing your hat in the ring when a position is advertised within the company.
You just mentioned an interesting point, because we're now making a bit of a switch from one topic to another, namely from field lines to the fans. That took an interesting turn in the survey, especially thanks to a good colleague, Ben. Dear Ben, you are also greeted here, who wanted to tell me in a know-it-all mode, no, it's no longer called Free Lines of Defense, but just Free Lines, and then attach the corresponding paper. I myself grew up with the term Free Lines of Defense, or at least that's how I learned it. And you just mentioned the topic that the Free Lines model, so to speak, yes, from the perspective of prevention auditors and also financial auditors, are in focus. And everything that comes from banks and the DORA environment still continues to have this topic of Free Lines of Defense. At the end of the day, what does it specifically mean? Again, the topic of Free Lines of Defense, you already mentioned, as it is called, three lines. There is the first line, second line, and third line. For me, it's very clear, as I always say it simply, the first line for me is the operational units, technical teams that directly manage the risks. The second line is governance, risk and compliance, and security management. And the third line for me is intelligence and also independent colleagues. How do you see it?
That's exactly as you said. Ultimately, it's about risk management. It's about minimizing risks, the IT risks, the technical operational risks, also IT compliance risks. And everyone works with that. Everyone has the same goal. I hope to manage risks, maybe not to minimize them at all costs, but both in the first line of defense, in operational defense, and in the second, where it's more about guidelines and checking compliance, maybe also about quality assurance, meaning the approval of artifacts. And in the third line of defense with internal auditing, it's essentially always about the same thing. And that should naturally be the goal in every company. To actively shape opportunity and risk management, I would say. And if you look at it now with the focus of internal auditing, which also has published the new paper through its committees so that it should no longer be called Three Lines of Defense, but rather Three Lines. And if you read into it, then I understand it as making a bit of a shift and no longer just saying there are organizational units in the first line, in the second line, in the third line, which is internal auditing, but rather focusing more on roles. I don't know if it was necessary to rename it. Basically, it's a well-known model, Three Lines of Defense. And everyone talks about Three Lines of Defense, and the internal auditors are welcome to talk about Three Lines. But yes, I also have a surprise for Ben. There is actually a fourth and a fifth line of defense, so to speak. If we make it a bit more global, looking at it globally, we also have external auditors, meaning the financial auditors who visit once a year. And in our SFT, the critical audits every 2 years. And in the fifth line of defense, there are indeed the regulatory bodies like BaFin or here in Bavaria. The Bavarian data protection colleagues who are involved meeting with us, because it's always about risk. And BaFin indeed plays a role there, and also the financial auditors who conduct their audit once a year. So when I look at it now, it's quite interesting that in cybersecurity, it is represented both in the first and second line of defense. In the first line of defense, we have operational IT security, and that is with us. It's called OSEC, the operational security, which also consists of the third team that handles security incidents and the identity and access managers who design and implement the roles and rights system. or also classically the colleagues who take care of network segmentation, the colleagues who handle the vulnerability scans that run overnight and evaluate them. So that is more of the technical side. And in the second line of defense, where it is about guidelines, about implementing regulatory requirements into concrete requirements within the company, the colleagues can then work on that. We are not so deeply involved technically there, but I would say, of course, in the exchange and collaboration with colleagues from the first line of defense, the magic happens here as well. Because in security, you always have a kind of slider between maximum security or minimal costs. However, it is not so rigidly linked, but through a clever selection of measures, you can indeed keep costs low and make significant progress in security. Because ultimately, the management determines the risk appetite. Sure. And it's about finding that magical point. And that's where, and yes, that's what ultimately advances the company in competitiveness when costs are controlled and kept in check.
Now you've already explained a bit about what freelance involves. I find that super exciting because we can switch it up a bit. Back to the first topic. This question is also often asked of me. How can I determine which line I am, so to speak, the right one? For me, the standard question is always, are you more technically oriented? Then I would suggest you go into the first line, because as we've already heard, the first line includes SOC analysts, pen testers, incident responders, identity and access management people, so people who work on a technical level. If you are more in the process and optimization area, also involved in risk management, then for me, the second line is clearly the case. And if you're into control audits or monitoring topics, then you would be in the third line. Do you agree with that? Or do you see other areas where you would say, hey, you should pay attention to this, and then you'll know which line you fit best into?
It's not so clear cut, because in the second line of defense, we also firstly conduct the internal audit for the 27001. And secondly, the external, meaning the certification audit, and then again, the surveillance audit, and then again, the recertification audit. This follows a 3-year cycle. The commissioning, organizing, and accompanying. Well, yes and no. It's not just technical. The first line of defense, and the second is not just organizational risk management. So, of course, it's a model. You can orient yourself by it, but I wouldn't rule out from the start that it the type of tasks that suited me well, at least in my case. For example, the legal, the regulatory requirements from the General Data Protection Regulation. Less so, as we have a dedicated data protection colleague for that. But from DORA, from the EU AI Act, and on the horizon, there's already product liability, the Product Liability Directive, which must be implemented into law and then makes software a product that can have defects, and which then also has consequences for the manufacturers. So it's not quite a racehorse. Maybe one should first get started, for example, by exploring the content freely available on the internet, like your podcast, and see which topic I like. Because, for example, internal auditing, the third line of defense, usually consists of several colleagues who also have their own focus areas. In internal auditing, there might be a colleague who is more technically oriented and another colleague then more in terms of requirements catalog for the and more for the non-technical departments like human resources, controlling, finance?
For me, they weren't trend lines at all, but rather preferences. I agree with you. Everything can be mixed. And I also believe that there is never anything fixed, because it can vary greatly from company to company and also from industry to industry. But I do see in practice that you can already see these tendencies more clearly. I think, again, the most important thing is to really look at how this develops and perhaps exchange ideas with other people. This brings me directly to the next topics. Where can you, so to speak, get practical tips and recommendations? And I always say networking is a super important topic. You just mentioned it, for example, this podcast here, attending congresses, attending events, where you can perhaps exchange ideas with exactly those people who are currently in the first or second line and see what they think about it.
Yes, definitely. So that's a very important point, to just dive in and seek as much contact as possible, not only online, but actually at meetings. There is so much. So in our region, in Nuremberg, Fürth, Erlangen, it's actually a huge IT cluster that you almost don't recognize because it's spread across different cities and communities. But there's a lot going on also in terms of, I haven't been there for a while, to be honest, but there are many meetings happening, for example, in the startup scene, but also bar camps are organized. And we now have again the digital festival, which used to be the Nuremberg Web Week, with many different topics. And just going there to see what resonates with me and where I can contribute if someone wants to get into the topic. And what is really important to me now is in your own company, or if you're not yet in a company, but at the university, or perhaps in a school education, vocational training. Yes. Are you a member of a sports club? There is someone who manages the website and is responsible for it. Or are you a member of a church community that might also have a working group or a person in charge? So even in non-professional areas, there is a lot of cybersecurity. You just have to keep an eye on it.
Just don't tell anyone that you know about cybersecurity and IT, because then everything from fixing the printer to the website, as you mentioned, will come your way.
That's true. That's true. But also, if you want to get started, first take a look at your own technology, your smartphone, your computer, your router Wi-Fi, yeah, how it's set up. Check if it's really as good as you think, or just verify it. There are so many topics here, even outside of work.
That's the case for me, for example. Years ago, I built a house with smart home technology, and that's my personal playground. Unfortunately, in my job, I'm sometimes not as hands-on as I would like to be. And then I always have my little play corner at home where I can experiment a bit, maybe delve deeper into the technology, which I might not do as much in my job anymore. But I'm with you on that. There are so many things you can see from your job in your private life where you can also develop personally. And there are dozens of events, open exchanges, where you can also, you can address exactly these topics. And an important appeal, which I always repeat, you must also learn from failures. Mistakes will happen. They happened to me as well. And this gives failure, and then to say, hey, maybe this isn't right for me, that might also be the wrong conclusion. Just think about it. If you made a mistake, if you didn't get further somewhere, how to deal with these conclusions and come out stronger, because that will definitely happen. It happened to me as well. And I think it's super important, especially for career changes. Not everything will work out immediately. And I keep hearing that many career changers have difficulty finding a job somewhere, because it comes back to the issue of not having certificates or work experience. I know that this is the case with many companies, but I also know just as many companies on the other side that are specifically looking for such people and offer them opportunities. So it's not definitely the case that no one wants to work with career changers. Rather, you just have to look for the right company for that.
So if you want to apply to companies, it's good to have some proof that you're interested in the topic. You don't necessarily have to get a huge certificate that's not even relevant yet. You've probably read online how I feel about certificates. So, well, I don't think you necessarily need them, especially if you're 53 like me and is in the job. For example, I have completed the CISP course and passed the exam on the first try, but I don't have it issued to me. Why should I constantly having to prove with a certificate that I have certain CPES and so on? I don't want to go through that effort. But if someone is on the threshold of their first job in cybersecurity, it can make sense to choose a certificate, learn for it, maybe in a group, exchange ideas, and take the exam, simply because it serves as proof to the future employer that the person really is serious about it. So at this point, I want to make a bit of a distinction. This is my personal view, but also really encourage everyone, don't be deterred if the job listing demands all sorts of things. So go for it and put your all into the application. You can also make it clear in the cover letter why you are interested in it and that you are exactly the right person for it. And if you are already in the company and want to apply for an internal position, you really don't need to, how should I say, be intimidated by requirements like high-level demanding certificates and so on. You are already part of the first line of defense and know a lot. Just apply if it interests you. Throw your hat in the ring.
You're addressing an important topic. I see it the same way. I can also reiterate my opinion on certificates. I'm exactly on your wavelength. I don't see it as beneficial for me either. I also have only one certificate. Not because I find it great or amazing, but simply because I say the effort to maintain it is minimal for me. And I've seen people who have 20 certificates and are really good. I've seen people who have 20 certificates and I think to myself, those are auditors. I also have to keep saying that many certificates, especially in the international field, which are recognized, simply do not work with German customs, ideas, and compliance. So when you take such a test and a question comes up, you simply say to yourself, in Germany, we wouldn't do it like that because they are also on the American market. Then I have to tell someone, why should I do something? Yes, there are also German branches, like, for example, the Teletrust, which has also done something like that. But ultimately, Vas, I agree with you. Especially for career changes, you always need some moment to show I'm excited about this. I want to do it. And I can only recommend there are free certificates from Google, Microsoft, and many other manufacturers. You can also get free certificates online that highlight the topic of cybersecurity and also show, hey, I want to. And the other point is, and I support you 100% on this, just be bold and apply for positions that require 20 certificates because they got these positions are open for a reason, Sauer, because they cannot be filled. They are not filled because this jack of all trades with 20 certificates, 50 years of experience, and for two Mark 50, you simply won't find them. This means there is a chance that a company, after searching for a while, will realize, okay, we can't find anyone with these requirements, and then they will lower the requirements. And especially for those who are in a company, this is the biggest appeal for me anyway. For a company, it would not be advantageous to hire someone externally, who, so to speak, is responsible for the whole topic. Someone who has to familiarize themselves with the processes anew instead of taking someone internally. This means a company naturally always looks to see if there is someone internally who can do it. And I know many are more on this threshold. Ah, that's such a hassle at home, or they have somehow tinkered at home and have no idea about it. Yes, that could happen. I've experienced that often. But if you show your boss or the people that you have acquired this knowledge privately, so to speak, and you have an interest in it, you show this fire, this burning, this passion for it, then your boss would be quite foolish not to give you the chance. Sure, it doesn't always work, but especially for career changes in a company, I see great opportunities and potential to be able to do that.
Definitely. So just have the courage. Also talk to the colleagues of the team where the position is advertised. Whether it's now ISMA in information security management in the second line of defense, or OSEC in operational security. And above all, don't let yourself. So it's often the case that external job postings are published one-to-one internally. Don't let yourself be deterred by the wording or requirements mentioned there that you might not have yet if you haven't worked in that area.
Exactly, Fatos, because there are enough open positions. We have a problem in this area, and I keep saying it. The shortage of skilled workers is not a shortage of skilled workers for me. It's not that there are no people, but rather that companies simply set their requirements too high and are looking for the perfect candidate. Actually, that's also a nice point, so to speak. For the last question I have for you, because I found it super exciting also, how your career path developed, and especially where you have found yourself now. Now, the last question for you. Do you see yourself continuing in your current line in the future? Or do you want to move into another area? Or have you found your home?
Well, I have arrived. I feel comfortable in the role. I also have no ambitions to make any further career steps. I consciously did not become a CISO because those are topics in which I do not want to work in the quasi-political area. You see, I also wouldn't want to take on a leadership role, which is partly associated with being a CISO, like leading a team. I have also settled into the topic with the many regulatory requirements, which most people probably just hate and find annoying. I really enjoy digging around in DORA, that is in our Digital Operational Resilience Act in the EU's our AI Act. In what else is coming? It suits me. Certainly, the environment will develop and one must continue to evolve because of that, perhaps by delving deeper into another topic or something. But I have arrived, yes. That's how it is. However, let's talk again in 5 years. It might be that I'm doing something completely different then. Sure, as it always happens. That has been the common thread in my life, that I always had to transform myself, so to speak, from a professional standpoint, perspective.
I'm glad that you've arrived.
On the other hand, you see, I brought you something here. So from the change in the professional environment, this is my coffee mug from the bank robbers. I don't know if you know Uli Stein, the bank robbers, and the one at the branch who says no, coffee break. So back then, of course, there was also a lot of security, part of the bank training, from the four eyes principle to physical security with an alarm button and so on. So I haven't really changed that much in my professional life.
Absolutely. I'm definitely glad that you have arrived. I really enjoyed it. Talking about your career path and especially the great words you directed at the community, for everyone who wants to start in this field now or is considering starting here as a career changer, I would say that's it for this episode of Cybersecurity Boss, and we'll hear from each other next time.